saidst, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. You don't have to turn there yet. Cast thy bread upon the water. Let's say that together. Cast thy bread upon the water. Thou shalt find it after many days. Let's say that together. Thou shalt find it after many days. Say it again. Thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the water. Thou shalt find it after many days. Bible scholars tell us that it's probably in relation to giving, risk-taking, and such in Ecclesiastes 11:1. Giving. A time of giving. And the Lord puts this message on my heart today to share with you. The good grace of giving. The good grace of giving. And speaking of giving and speaking of in that relation, I heard about a little boy that was in school. His name was Billy. And he was learning math. His math teacher said to him, said, Billy, said, what would you have if you had $2 in your pocket and you asked your daddy for $4? What would you have? Billy said, $2. The teacher said, Billy, you don't know your math. He said, yes, ma'am, I do, but you don't know my daddy, all right? I'd still have $2. But give it. I know sometimes we think, well, I don't have time to do anything else. How many are feeling rushed these days? Come on, talk to me. How many are feeling stressed? I know you are. You're not really can, but I know you've been in loss. You've been stressed. You've been like, I don't have time to do this. I remember a few years ago, I was over at the visiting one of our dear ladies in the social circle, the Muse, at the time. And one of the ladies came up and asked me, said, would you come and bring a message to us on such and such a day, at such and such a time? And I remember I began to think, I said, Lord, I don't have time. Lord, I'm busy. I've got a lot of things going on. Trying to keep up with hundreds of people, my soul, it's a challenge to say the least, but it's a joy at the same time. But my point is this, I said, God, I don't have time. And you know what the Lord spoke my heart about? Son, if you want the blessings, you better make time. He didn't say those exact words, but if you really want blessings, how many want blessings these days? You really want God to bless you. And the Lord put in my heart to do that, to go on Thursdays. And the ladies have shared with you before, and the men that come, they say this, their church. It's on Thursday. It's not Sunday. They don't have a chance to go on Sunday. Many of them come in wheelchairs. Many of them have mental problems or physical problems. I was not long ago there and singing with them and preaching the Word of God. And after I left, as I was leaving, many of them were asking for prayer requests. And I said to each one of them, I said, Dorothy, God bless you, and I hope you get better. Panty, God bless you, I hope you get better. Doc, God bless you, I hope you get better. Ruth, God bless you, I hope you get better. Russell, Mr. Russell, God bless you, I hope you get better. About the time I was fixing to leave, a man stood up in the back and said, Preacher, God bless you, I hope you get better. I'm not allowed to take the wind out of your sails. I said, praise God, I hope I get better too. But you know what? The good grace of giving. And you know what? I tell you, I'm looking at a crowd today that has the gift of giving. Many of you have the gift of giving. I'm thinking about a man right now by the name of Curtis Tucker. I was getting ready to go on the trip to Israel like a few months ago. It was the day before, in April, that I was scheduled to fly out. And how many have ever taken a trip, 21 days, and you're trying to get all the stuff together, and where you're going to be staying, and flying, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it was trying to get everything together. The day before, now, and Brother Curtis calls me on the phone. He said, Brother Randy, I wonder if I could talk with you a minute. I said, yes, sir. What do you need to talk about? He said, I'd like to meet you somewhere. And I said, okay, I'll be glad to meet you where you want to meet. Anyway, and I'm trying to get everything together and a little stressed about the things that are going on. And anyway, I showed up. He said, I'll meet you such and such place. He met me over at the corner of Caroline Road and Hendersonville Road. And he said this. He pulled out of his car a briefcase. And he said, I don't want my pastor going over to Israel unorganized. All right? I want to give you this. I know this will take more than a briefcase to get pastor organized. All right? But anyway, he gave me this briefcase. Now, that might not mean a lot to you, but it meant a lot to me. And
reasons, primarily two reasons the Lord put in my heart, sharing with you today, the good grace of giving, the two reasons that we ought to try it, or at least master it, or practice it, whatever, however you want to term it. Proverbs chapter 11, if you'll notice in verse 24 and 25 of Proverbs 11, if you dare say amen. Solomon wrote and said, there is that scattered, that's one that's scattered, the one that's sowed. A farmer can't expect much of a harvest if he just throws one or two seeds out there, but he's going to scatter a lot of seeds. Why? He's expecting a good harvest. There is that scattered and yet increases, that is, has a return. And there is that withholding more than its meat. There are those who keep rather than give. Look what he says. There are those that withholdeth more than meat, but it tendeth to poverty. You see the comparison there? Now look at verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth, I like this part, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is the word of God. May God bless us our heart today to think for a little while on the subject of the good grace of giving. Father, I thank you that you gave the very best. You gave your all. Jesus, thank you that you were willing to die for me, to take my sins, to bear my penalty, to pay a debt you did not owe. God, I'm forever grateful. And Lord, I know I cannot pay it back, but Lord, I just ask you, Father, to help me to yield afresh to you your will for my life. And Lord, I'm not what I'll be, but I thank you, precious Lord. You changed my heart. You give my heart for you. And I pray now that you'll help us all, dear Lord, to hear you speak today. And Father, yield and obey your word and your will by your Spirit. If God, you want to do greater things in our life, help us to see, Father. And help us to believe and trust and, Father, follow through exactly what you tell us to do today. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your great love. We praise you for those that are here today. Meet every need here. Maybe there's one here who's never by faith received you. I pray today indeed will be the day of salvation. And others of us, our Lord, we get so focused on our own world and our own self. Lord, we just get so consumed often with the problems we're experiencing. And forget to look out and see a world that's out there. And forget to fulfill our purpose and your plan for us here on this limited, brief space on earth. Thank you again for victory in Jesus. Thank you again for your precious cleansing blood. Thank you that Satan's overcome by the blood. And we ask now that you get glory and honor. Thank you for the time of praise and worship. And we again just, Lord, look to you today with thanksgiving and praise, and expect you to do great things, because you said your word will not return you void. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. The good grace of giving. There are two reasons why I believe that you and I ought to continue to practice. We ought to continue to test and to believe that God honors his word. Number one, the first reason why we ought to continue or try at least the good grace of giving, and it's this, because number one, givers aren't thinking about themselves, rather givers, listen to me, givers are thinking about the blessing that comes. city you haul behind a hearse. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. No man is a fool. By the way, Jim Elliot died a martyr as he ministered to the Alka Indians in South America. And he said, no man, boy, this has been registered in my heart, no man is a fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. I'm so glad, praise God, you can't lose it when God gives it to you. I had a couple of Mormon young ladies to come and talk last week. They were in their 20s, very nice young ladies. And in their 20s, all the way from Salt Lake City. Hey, listen, I give them credit. At least they're going out knocking on doors and going out trying to, even though they're deceived, even though they got the false doctrine, still, they are out busy beating bushes and trying to spread the word. I give them credit there. But finally, after an hour and a half, they said, we got to go, Pastor. Amen. After talking with me for an hour and a half, I said, listen, I don't believe what you do. As a matter of fact, I studied that Book of Mormons, and here's what I think about it. Here's the boy, they just sat there with their eyes blinking. And anyway, I was praying for the Spirit of God to open their eyes. No man is a fool to give up what he cannot gain, what he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. I asked them both, as I looked right in their eyes, and I'm going to ask you this morning, I asked them this question. If you die, would you go to heaven? Do you have that absolute assurance? Are you positive? I was at the funeral home last night. Our neighbor passed away. And anyway, was at the funeral home up in Covington. Just suddenly, had Thanksgiving dinner with the family. But in the wee hours of the night, just died. There was no real sickness there. There was no real reason for dying other than it was her time. Well, if you die, would you go to heaven? Are you absolutely positive? Have you got that blessed assurance? When I asked these young ladies that, you know what they said to me? They looked at me and what they stumbled around, wandled around with words, and I could tell it caught them off guard. And they just kind of rambled about this and that. They didn't ask the question. And I looked at them and I said, listen, a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, they've got the right terminology, mind you, but there is a difference in the Jesus that they're worshiping and the Jesus that they're teaching than the Jesus we're teaching. Our Jesus is different. That is the Jesus of the Bible. And listen to me. I'm glad to tell you today. See, if you've got this assurance, how do you know that you know that you know? If something was to happen to you, if you were not to make it through the day, did you know you'd go to heaven? It was in your hand. Is there anybody here that says, you know, I don't have that absolute assurance? Maybe there was one hand, perhaps it was not raised. But I want you to know today, I'm glad to tell you, God, when you've got a relationship with Jesus, you can have that absolute assurance. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's in John chapter 10 and verse 27. And the Word of God teaches that the Spirit of God seals us unto the day of redemption. Now, that's not a license to sin, mind you. There are other beliefs that besides this doctrine of eternal security that has some validity to it. What am I saying? I'm saying this.
Father do it?
They set up a board and put these jars, round jars, very large at the bottom, long narrow neck at the top, and a clear jar with shiny beads all in the bottom of this jar. They anchor down on this board, they nail and anchor that board into deep into the earth where it cannot be pulled back, and then those monkeys out in the bushes, they look out and they can see the sun glittering off of those shiny beads, and it draws their attention, and those monkeys go out. They couldn't catch those monkeys, otherwise they're too fast. They're swinging from limb to limb. But the monkeys are black. They love those beads. They're shiny. They got to get their hands on them. And so they put their hands to the narrow neck of that jar. It's just barely enough to fit. It'll just barely go in that neck of that jar. And then they get their hand down in there. There's a big jar down in the bottom. And the shiny beads. And boy, they're happy now. And they grab a handful of those beads. And with their hands. And they try to get their hand out. But because they've got a hold of these beads, they can't pull their hand out. They won't let go of the beads. They've got it. They won't let go of it. And guess what happens? Those men hiding in the bushes, they got nets. And they'll throw the nets over those monkeys. And they got the monkeys and caught them. Why? Because they wouldn't let the beads go. They had a hold of them. I want you to know, listen, give us when we give. We don't think about ourselves. Rather, we think about the blessings of God. Cast thy bread upon the water. You shall find it, mock many beasts, from here. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's a second reason why you and I, as the Lord spoke in my heart about, ought to practice. I challenge you. I challenge you. Matter of fact, God's word says, prove me now, you will say, the Lord of hosts, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. But what about this thing of the good grace of giving? What I mean about this? Secondly, those who give understand. They can expect blessings. Why? How many believe that God's true to his word? When he tells you to do something, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Well, what did he say he would do? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You got to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice three parts.